Hey, welcome to Filled With Messages. Thanks for joining me. I'm Ruth Farrell, and amongst other things, I'm the lead pastor of St. Peter United Church of Christ in Lake Zurich, Illinois. My favorite Easter book begins, we hear of the Easter Bunny who comes each Easter day before sunrise to bring eggs for boys and girls. So we often think there is only one, but this is not so. There are really five Easter bunnies, and they must be the kindest and swiftest and wisest bunnies in the whole world, because between sunset on Easter Eve and dawn on Easter morning, they do more work than most rabbits do the whole year. When one of the Easter bunnies grows old and can no longer run fast, the old, wise, and kind grandfather bunny, who lives at the palace of the Easter eggs, calls the bunnies together from the whole world to select the very best one to take its place. Often, a mother bunny says to her child, "Now, if you learn to be wise and kind and swift, someday you may grow up to be one of the Easter bunnies." And all of the babies try their very best so that they can grow up and go to work for the grandfather bunny at the palace of Easter eggs. The remainder of the story focuses on one country bunny who grew up wanting to be an Easter bunny. But as is so often the case, many things lay in her path. The other bunnies looked down their noses at her. She grew up, got married, and had baby bunnies. So she let go of her dream of being an Easter bunny and focused on raising her cottontails to be kind and swift and wise. One day, the country bunny heard the news that an Easter bunny was retiring. She took all her baby bunnies with her to the Palace of Easter Eggs to see who Grandfather Bunny would choose as a replacement. All sorts of impressive bunnies showed off their speed and agility, but not one was wise or kind. Looking over the crown, Grandfather Bunny noticed the country bunny, and after putting her through a series of tests, saw she was swift and kind and wise. He named her the newest Easter bunny. But still, the other bunnies laughed at her. On Easter Eve, the country bunny gathered with the other Easter bunnies, and together they hopped all over the world delivering eggs of gold and silver, eggs that glittered like snow, chocolate eggs, marshmallow eggs. By the end of the night, the country bunny was exhausted and ready to go home. But Grandfather Bunny approached her holding an egg glittering like a diamond. He gave her the special task of delivering it to a very special little boy who was very sick. The journey was very hard, but the country bunny persevered. When she could finally see the cottage where the boy lay, something terrible happened. She slipped and fell all the way down the mountain. When she finally came to rest, the egg was safe, but she had broken her leg. She realized it was just about dawn, so she tried to get up, but she could not stand. The country bunny would not be able to get the egg to the boy before Easter. All the other bunnies were right about her. She didn't have what it took to be an Easter bunny. She failed the boy. She failed Grandfather Bunny. She failed her baby bunnies. She failed herself. Suddenly, Grandfather Bunny was standing beside her. "You are not only wise and kind and swift, but you are also the bravest of all the bunnies," he said to her. He bent down and put on a tiny golden pair of shoes on her feet. Before she knew what was happening, she felt a sudden motion and flying halfway up the mountain. She jumped once again and she was at the cottage door. She quickly delivered the egg to the little boy and returned home just in time to bring a basket of Easter eggs to her own little cottontails. Many of us are at least a little like the country bunny. We try to be wise and kind and swift, perhaps more metaphorically than literally on that last one. We have dreams, goals, hopes for ourselves, but sometimes things don't work out. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we feel like we failed. Those moments can feel like a little death. They can make it hard to imagine how to come alive again, be hopeful and purposeful again. On Easter, one of the things we celebrate is that God is all about bringing life out of death. God is all about making something beautiful of the broken pieces of our lives. God is all about resurrecting us and this world. Just as the grandfather bunny brought the country bunny back to life with the golden shoes, we are always being brought back to life through our kind and wise and loving God. Today's scripture passage is just one of several times Jesus interacts with people after his resurrection. Each time he connected with people after Easter, he showed some of the ways God helps us come alive again. Hear these words from John's Gospel, chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds, our bodies to receive your good news for us today. Good news of life and hope. Good news of resurrection. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts in all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your eyes, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mary of Magdala was the first person Jesus interacted with after he came to life again. When she went to the tomb that first Easter morning, she went there to grieve, to lament, to mourn. She went to honor her beloved teacher and friend. She went to be near the final resting place of this person who had so radically changed her life and the lives of so many. She had no hope of finding him alive that morning. When she saw the tomb was empty, she asked her friends to help her. They came back to the tomb with her, but left as quickly as they came without offering her any support. This only further intensified Mary's grief. She was terrified as she stood by herself next to the tomb. Likely she was also feeling lost and hopeless. Perhaps she was feeling a bit like a failure since she couldn't get her mind to think straight about where she might find Jesus's body. As Mary stood there in the grip of grief, a man approached asking what was happening. Thinking he was the gardener, she explained. Then the man called her by name, Mary, and with one word, her world became technicolor again. When we are in the depths of despair, we often feel forsaken by God, just as Jesus did when he was dying on the cross. But even when we feel utterly forsaken, we are not. God knows our names. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. One of the ways God brings us back to life after long seasons of death is by lovingly calling our names. God does this in a variety of ways, but often by bringing our attention to the gifts of beauty and joy he places in our lives. A double rainbow in the midst of a stormy day, a card from a friend at just the right time, an unexpected moment of peace. After Jesus called Mary by name, her gut instinct was to try to hug him. For reasons that aren't entirely clear, he wouldn't let her do so. But later he did let people touch him to help them come alive again. The first Easter evening, the disciples were all gathered together in a room with the doors locked, terrified they were going to be arrested and face the same end Jesus had. Suddenly, he stood among them. To prove it was him, not a ghost, he showed them the wounds of his crucifixion. Thomas was not there when this happened, and when those present told him about their experience, he refused to believe. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails are and put my hands in his side, I will not believe." Honestly, I can't blame Thomas. I might have struggled to believe my friends weren't pulling my leg too in the same situation. Thomas gets a bad rap for being a quote-unquote doubter, but doubt is normal, human, and faith doesn't exist without it. One evening, Jesus showed up again and invited Thomas to touch him and believe. Touch is another way God brings us alive. To be sure, touch can feel very unsafe to some of us. Many have been wounded deeply by unwanted touch. But safe touch is important to our well-being. It is essential to our physical, mental, and emotional health. From this story about Thomas, we also learn it's important for our spiritual health, too. We can't literally touch Jesus, so how does God use touch to help us come alive again? Here's an idea from Richard Rohr, the respected Christian theologian. "I dedicate this book to my beloved 15-year-old black lab, Venus, whom I had to release to God while beginning to write this book. Without any apology, lightweight theology, or fear of heresy, I can appropriately say that Venus was also Christ for me." In other words, the touch of our pets can be a way God uses touch to help us come alive again. A hug offered, not demanded, but offered from a safe, trusted loved one can be a way God brings us back to life. Even touching the soft petals of a daffodil can help us feel alive again. Jesus also took a 7-mile walk with two people on Easter. On their journey, they chatted about all kinds of stuff. In particular, one of them told the mind-boggling story of Jesus' death, concluding, "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." Clearly, the man was still very shaken by the events of the last week. Clearly, he was still reeling as he tried to figure out what Jesus' life, death, and now disappearance/resurrection might mean. As their walk continued, Jesus explained scriptures in ways that his companions had never experienced before, but they still didn't recognize him. It was only when he took bread, broke it, and gave it to them that they were brought out of their grief-filled, confused stupor and came back to life again. Communion is another way God brings us back to life. In this simple meal of bread and juice, we meet God in ways we cannot explain. We experience grace like none other. We are fed literally and spiritually so we can go out into the world and keep slogging through its challenges. We are fed literally and spiritually so we can go out into the world and be more attuned to God's presence all around us. We are fed literally and spiritually so we can go out into the world and help it come alive again too. While the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples several times on Easter and the days immediately following it, the disciples still struggled to come alive again, to find their way forward. They locked themselves in rooms for a few days and eventually just went back to their old lives. Not quite what Jesus had in mind for them, but in all fairness, coming alive again rarely happens in a moment. When we have experienced great darkness, hope typically dawns slowly. One morning, the disciples were back where Jesus found them the first time, fishing the Sea of Galilee. He made them breakfast, and after they were finished eating, he pulled Peter aside for a chat. Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples, but as Jesus was suffering and dying, Peter not only abandoned but also disowned Jesus. During their chat on the beach, Jesus made it clear that Peter was forgiven and freed to come alive again to do the work Jesus commissioned him to do. Peter struggled through his conversation with Jesus that morning. coming back to life again isn't easy. It's not a straightforward path. It takes courage and the encouragement of others. Oftentimes we stumble a bit as we come back to life, and that's okay. Just as Jesus was patient with Peter that morning, so is God patient and encouraging with us as we are coming back to life again. God helps us find our purpose, hope, and new life. Throughout all of our lives, all of us will have times where we experience death, literal and metaphorical. Perhaps it will be the death of a dream or the death of a marriage. Maybe it will be the death of a loved one or the death of who we thought we were. Maybe it will be the death of a career or the death of innocence. When we experience these seasons, may we cling to the promise of Easter that God will always help us come alive again. May we listen for God resurrecting us by calling our names through safe touch in sacred rituals like communion, with time and helping us find purpose again. Our God is making all things, including us, new. Thank you for joining me today. The story I referenced at the beginning of the sermon is from a book called The Country Bunny. I'd encourage you to read it. It's delightful. Easter is not just a day, but a whole season. So as you journey through this season of Easter, may you be on the lookout. May you expect, may you rejoice in the ways God is helping you come alive again. Grace and peace to you, my dear friends. Take good care.